Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
I was really closed up and disassociated and really like in survival mode and defense and protecting myself to like, boom, to like, I could see so much, you know, my crown chakra blasted open and all of a sudden I'm communicating with my spirit guides and I'm just like, what?
Hi, this is Lowell Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
And this is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory,
but we drew the map. It's my great pleasure to welcome to Curious Creatures. We're joined tonight by Meg Myers. Welcome, Meg.
Hello. Thank you.
Hey, Meg.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm like 2 hours north of Los Angeles, basically. It's really pretty. I love that area.
I used to stop at a place called the Tickle Pink Inn. I don't think it's there anymore.
What is it called?
The Tickled Pink.
Tickle Pink Inn. What? And
Or are you thinking of the Madonna Inn? You're thinking of that because that's
No, we passed the Madonna Inn. We thought that was pretty fab. It was, I think Susie and I were doing a road trip down from San Francisco and we drove down to LA and we'd never driven a car out of state. I don't think you were allowed to, but we just did. And we stopped at the Tickle Pink Inn. I remember it well. Everything was pink.
Wow.
The lady who ran it had pink hair. She had a pink dress. Her cheeks were probably pink. The telephone was pink and the cups and the bedspread and probably the cat, if there was one.
That's cool.
That's pretty cute.
I was thinking, Meg, the last time I met you was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. You were playing a festival in San Diego and it was great. I loved everything about it. It was pretty wonderful. And I mean, it was the middle of the afternoon, you know, so everybody's there in their shorts. And
I don't really remember that well. Actually, I really only remember you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
I really only remember meeting somebody from my favorite band. So,
yeah, no, it was a great show. I really liked it. And I sort of followed you ever since, followed things, you know. I have this playlist for when I eventually pass away or whatever. I mean, it's a bit morbid, but it's like I put my favorite songs on there, and one of my favorite songs for the last few years was your version of Kate Bush's Running Up the Hill. I actually liked it. It's like,
wow, awesome.
I like it better than the original version.
Wow.
Because to me it has all the power and the emotion that should be in that song, and Kate's version, you know, God bless her and everything, but it was a little more like, I love Bauhaus's version of Ziggy Stardust better than I like Bowie's version, you know, because it just sounds more like it should sound, you know. And
interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah.
That's really cool. By the way, you guys have both inspired me a lot. The bands that you're in have been really big inspirations in my 20s. And one of my recent videos I shot was inspired. I don't remember the name of the video by Susie and the Banshees video, though. My song, Me, you guys should check it out, where I'm like,
I have.
Peering through the window. Have you?
I've seen it. You're in that little room with a pair of bongos, like pink bongos or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But then it must be the first video I did, which was for Happy House.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was so camera conscious. They kind of put me in the corner and then they gave me a little drum, put me in the corner. And I remember everybody, all the guys in my previous band were going, you were so camera conscious. I didn't know where to look. His first time in front of a video camera.
Really?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I listened to The Cure a lot growing up. One of my favorite songs was A Forest.
Right. Thank you.
I really loved Wish a lot. And just, you guys really inspired me so much. So it's really cool to be sharing this space with you.
Do you know where Lol and I, we're totally, you know, in each other's lives from the word go. Our bands were joined together.
Right.
Strangely, Robert joined us for a little while, did an album, then went back and
wow.
You and Robert just went crazy after that.
You certainly did.
No, but you had huge hits.
I still haven't recovered.
No, neither have I.
But you've done quite a large change in lots of ways, and I've been reading about your stuff and your philosophy now, and it's great. It's great because it's the truth, you know. It's the truth, and it's the way that comes out comes to us all in the end. And I wonder if you can kind of describe that journey to us a little bit. You know, since I saw you in, you know, San Diego 7 years ago or whatever it was.
Well. My journey has been, I'm kind of warming up right now to the energy with you guys too. It just takes me a minute sometimes, but
okay.
very sensitive, but I can feel this is a safe space for me to speak. I had this vision with this song, Running Up That Hill, that I had created, that I had covered, and I like saw that, you know, it was a high potential for it to become successful, and I just, the song meant so much to me, her version, for so long, and like I felt this feeling of like I always felt like there's this cover out there that I am meant to cover, but I'll know when it's the one. And people would always say, cover this, you should cover this. I'm like, no, that's not the one. And then when I covered that, it was like very clear that that was the song that I felt meant to cover. It was like, it felt very meant to be.
That's funny you should say that, like unfinished, because that was the difference when I heard your version of Running Up the Hill and Kate's version. Kate's version to me now sounds unfinished.
Wow.
Because your version's got
so
all the right emotion in it for me, and where it's going, and it's ecstatic as well as you know, beautiful. So I like that. And that, to me, is, you know, the point where maybe, I don't know, that was like 2019, so maybe you're not quite there to the epiphany later on, but it's the start. It's the start of that road, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like, what was coming to me, and it might be a little like out there, but I'm just gonna say it. It's like, I think it's so cool that we can make art and then someone else can take it. And it's like, I believe that we're all, it's one universe, you know, expressing itself, one God expressing itself through all of us. And I think that's so crazy and so cool that, you know, that it was like this, that's just a constant collaboration. You know, that we're just.
Yeah. It's only when ego gets involved.
Yeah.
And
we're, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but my mind's better than yours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, well, it's, you know, it's one creator working through these different vessels. I had this pretty, like, explosive awakening. I had been on tour, and I had been on touring my album Take Me to the Disco, which was my second album, and it was really intense, and I felt really like
just like tired.
Yeah.
And just like totally burnt out. And then it was like, literally I did, it was like a week after I got off the road, and I just had this awakening, this realization, self-realization and universal realization. And like this really, it was like this instant download of like through meditation that I was doing. And it was like this instant download that's, that there's so much more available to me than I was seeing and that I was experiencing, and that the universe really has my back, and I just need to listen to my heart and to follow through with my whatever feels like, yeah, whatever is my truth and an integrity. Is the universe is gonna, it's going to be challenging and all these things, and it sure as hell has been, but it's been one lesson after the next. But it's all been, it's like life is happening for me and not to me, and it's all been to show me what is my honest integral truth. And well, yeah, and the universe has really been supporting me and bringing people in like slowly but surely to, you know, help me to really support like what I really want to say. And I don't know, I'll just start there, because that's kind of like, that's everything that I've been going through. And it was a whirlwind and crazy back then. And I was super disassociated from my body and really like not able to understand what I was feeling on a deeper level and what I was experiencing and like where I was like, you know, I'm 36 years old, and I spent a large portion of my life just in this space where I was surviving. And I think we're always doing that to a degree. Like, you know, it's a process every day of becoming aware of like where I'm, right. You know, yeah. But I was just surviving, and I was really like, the way that I was surviving was to, you know, people please, so that I was safe, that I could be safe, and right. I could keep moving through it all. And it, that was a part of my realization, is like, nah, like none of this is working for me actually. Like this is all bullshit. So I don't know. And yeah, I guess, you know, musically, if we're gonna go take it back to the music, it's like, that's also been a process for me, because I feel like it's been this journey, and I think it's just a constant evolution of, you know, going deeper into my core and getting more clear on what I want to say and creating a safer space for me to fully express that and to be more authentic.
Can I just say thank you for letting all that come out and just be with us? It sounds like an epiphany.
Thank you.
A real epiphany, where yeah. a self-realization. I know, but Lol and I have come to a similar point, you know, but later. It took us a while longer.
Yeah.
But you mentioned you're 36, and I was, I think, 38 when I had the big change. But it took me a while to understand what it was. It took me like another 10 years, I think, to get closer. And I realize by talking to other people that it's not, it happens at different times. And if we're courageous enough, we recognize it when it hits us and we heed it. And so many, I imagine, don't. And so perhaps when we're at our lowest ebb, plus with self-realization of meditation, then it sounds like you were in the right moment.
Yeah.
So when you had that realization, was at the end of a tour or something? Because when Budgie was saying about, you know, we've had our own realizations, I was thinking back about mine. And I was probably, yeah, about the same age. I was about 35, 36. And I was in the desert, you know, because I love the desert. And I wanted to just be by myself with nothing or nobody. And in that stillness, in the quietness that you have out in the desert, it came to me. So was yours in like the was your epiphany in the middle of the tour, or is it at the end when everything's done and you're feeling like, okay, now I feel it, I can hear it?
Mine was like, yeah, it was like a week after I got off tour, and I just was like, I just felt over everything, and I felt like just really consumed by other people's opinions and needs of me and expectations. And I felt like I needed to shut everything out for a minute and just be in my own energy, and which I really never had been, honestly, like my whole life. And it was like this moment where I just shut everything out. And that's been a process to keep doing that. Like I said, it's like I have to constantly be aware, like when I'm giving too much energy and, you know, when I'm not paying attention to what I'm feeling and stuff like that. But this was, I would say, also like my first awakening, right? Because it's always happening layer after layer. And this was my first like layer, but it was really intense, where I was really closed up and disassociated and really like in survival mode and defense and protecting myself, to like boom, to like I could see so much, you know, my crown chakra blasted open, and all of a sudden I'm communicating with my spirit guides, and right. I'm just like, what the, like, how do I not? Then it was a process of like figuring out how to explain that to everybody, you know, what I was going through, and having all of those judgments and stuff. But it was a pretty magical time. But yeah, for me, it was like sitting there just meditating for 3 hours until I like clicked in. It was like, I just clicked in, and my body was, I was like, I was able to receive. I was like, finally gave myself space to just like be more like calm my nervous system and open myself up to, you know, a greater wisdom. To be able to come through. So
you said that you're like, prior to that, and you said you felt it was like people pleasing, and it's never, that wouldn't be something I would have associated with you from seeing film performances and the intensity of what you've delivered in a short space of time. And do you think it was all part of the process anyway? And whether you, not that you knew where you were going, but I recognize the playing the role that's been, if you like, you've been given and then adopted and then taken as yourself. When you become a performer, I suppose, and you're a writer, and you become what is invented for you in a way, how you deliver your songs, how you protect yourself as well. But and then it becomes, as you say, something like armor to wear as well.
Yeah.
But I suppose my question was, did you find that all of that was part of the process? You know, this is it, you had to kind of get exhausted and really at the end of knowing it was, I suppose what keeps coming back is like dying tiny deaths.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I feel like that's every single day. Like, it's just like I wake up and I feel like I'm going through like a death and rebirth every day. I mean, it's like throughout the whole day too. It's this whole process. And then I go to sleep and then I wake up and it's like, oh, here we go again. I mean, I cry a lot. I release a lot. And yeah, I feel like this whole human experience and the whole like journey that I've been on is just, how do I put it? Like, it's all of her growth, and I like love all of it, the darkest parts of it. There's so much to say. I'm like getting kind of stuck actually, because I'm like, it was a really important part of my journey, everything, I think, and a part of, I guess, my story, right? To be able to see, oh, this is a story, and like, we can change our stories. And I think it's not always overnight, because it's so like programmed and like ingrained in our DNA to like keep repeating stuff. But I think it was a really necessary part of my journey. Like, and as much like toxic
shit as there was. There was so much awesome stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, that I was able to, like, I have so much trauma, like, from my childhood. The fact that I was able to survive and, like, find a way to, like, hack the system through my voice and through, even though I was still people pleasing, even though that was still happening and, you know, I wasn't fully being my authentic self, but I was finding it through the music. And that's what all of the art, that's what it all is. And that's, I was finding it through that. It was like that, the hope that has been like the only place that I've, you know, been able to express myself. Thank God.
Yeah, that's like your salvation right there. I mean, we have a friend of ours, Zola Jesus, and we talked to her about similar kind of things. You know, when she's performing, it's very obvious to me that her authentic self is there. Her id.
Yeah.
Her id is coming out, and there's no ego involved, you know, and that's something that's very powerful. I've felt that from reading about your journey, that it's just like that. I mean, do you find that it's starting to make a difference to your art as well?
Yeah. I really want to look her up because I saw her a long time ago and was like, I was just blown away and it was really inspiring. And there was a part of me that was like, I want to do something like that.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
And I haven't followed her, so I need to dive in.
When I first saw her, I was reminded of Diamant de Galas.
Yeah.
It was that kind of power, but not a power that would be easily translatable into any commercial venture, but certainly one that would reach a lot of people.
Yeah. One of the questions that you asked me about my like new process.
Yes.
You know, how where all of this has led. And so in that process of really 2019 to now has been like, I used to go to sessions and write all of my material and sit with different producers and different writers. And, you know, I am so proud of all of the material that came of that. And I also felt extremely like repressed, and like there was so much more that wanted to be expressed. But I felt like that needed to be done in a really slow, private way where I'm not like rushed to like spit something out. And so really, like, it was 2019, I was like really saying no to everything. I had to say no to everything for a little while, and to just really go within, and tons of unlocking emotions and just like literally, you know, freeing myself and expressing that through the music, writing all of the material on my piano and like writing all of it on guitar, and just really taking the time to figure out what I want to say and how, and finding people like very particular now about like where I give my energy and attention to, you know, and that's a constant process of like too, but just like creating that bubble, that safe bubble where it's like really creative, where I can be really creative and like really let become a channel to like allow it all to flow through. Because that's what I think it is. It's like there is no me. There is, but you know, it's just really, I'm just a vessel to be able to, and I think that's what we all are, is to, and are we going to open ourselves up? Or are we going to get caught up in our ego and think that it's, you know, but which I do a lot, like, you know, all the time.
Hey. Oh, but, I never do that. Never.
You don't do that, right?
No.
we're human, you know. This is an imperfect place for us.
I knew there was a catch.
There's always a catch.
I only experienced that behind the drum kit one time in all these years. And it was almost like an out-of-body. I've had a few of those kind of out-of-body experiences for different reasons.
Right.
This one on stage, middle of a gig, intense, and it was a kind of, I was behind myself, watching my limbs moving around the kit, thinking, I can't do that. And I thought, but I better get back, otherwise it's all going to fall to pieces. And I don't even know. I kind of must have embellished the feeling or the memory of it over the years. Like I also had right here where I am in Berlin after a very emotional, long, intense recording period and rehearsal for that recording that we did here, that I'd run out into the night and that was it. I was out looking for it was probably a companion, or it was more likely looking to be away from wherever it was I was, and passed out. And I remember seeing myself somehow spread-eagled on the floor and thinking, I think I should get back there.
Wow.
And then I don't remember physically anything else except waking up in a white-sheeted hospital bed.
Right.
With a doctor to give me some kind of good advice that I went, yeah, good advice, and not heeding it as again.
Wow.
Maybe these are some of those moments that happen when, you know, the door opens and you go, that could be the moment. And then you kind of return to what you know and have known.
It's my favorite experiences ever in my life that have those small glimpses of like the infinite, of everything being possible and everything being right there, you know. And when it comes along and you think, oh my God, that's what that is. And then of course you pass through that, you know, and you come back here and you're like, oh, I'm back. You know? And it's like, yeah.
So
Your sounds like the Kundalini rising, right? You know, right up, and that could be.
I just did Kundalini yoga.
Yeah,
I just did some. Yeah,
it's really cool, but it's also could be really disturbing, you know, because there's this energy that you've never had present in your life, and suddenly it's there, you know, and it's a great thing. But to me, you feel much. I think happier is the wrong word. To me, you feel much more authentic, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Because I remembered a girl I met, you know, 7 years ago. So you were probably at the end of your 20s. You were pretty forthright, you know? I think you kind of knew some of who you were, but this seems more real, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I just, you know, again, it's like, not pushing anything that I've done away, although I did have that process for a little while, you know, where I had to go through that, like, I'm awake, and now, like, everything was evil, and now I'm in the light, and, you know, integrating all of that, but realizing, like, just how amazing it all is, and how it's just, it just is. It literally, like, my saying is, like, it is what it is. Like, that's just, it all is, and, you know, it's a little bit, like, it's interesting to watch, like, fan base to fall away and new people to come in, you know, in this process, because it's I was shooting a video the other day and I was like, you guys, you know, it's really scary for me sometimes too, because like I feel like it's a really accelerated evolution that I'm going through and it's really uncomfortable, you know, but yeah, it's just becoming, it's just letting it's becoming more raw and letting all the layers fall away and becoming more authentic and more like real with myself. And it's crazy. And I look in the mirror sometimes even, and I'm just like, what is happening? Like, you know, I feel so much more androgynous than I used to. And even though deep down I always knew that that's really, you know, who I am. But I was scared to fully be that, because what would happen? How would I survive in the world if I wasn't, you know, this one thing that everybody expected me to be? But yeah, like I was still hacking the system, and I was still, finding ways to express my authentic self. But it was it's been a process.
That's the word I thought of when I was making my cup of tea that to bring up to the studio here was...
Well, it's a process.
Evolution.
Evolution.
It was like you hadn't changed. It seems like you've evolved.
Yeah. Beautiful. I like that. Yeah.
Lol, you gave me a book. It's by the bedside table downstairs. It's I Am Not the Body.
Right.
You gave me a lot of titles like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go visit Lol in LA. I come back with all of it. Or he very kindly sends them to me, so I don't have to carry them all, you know. But this great nighttime reading. Because you have to just have some kind of leap and change of thinking just to read the words. Because we're not talking about this world.
Yeah. A major perspective shift.
Yeah. And if you're in the business that promotes, you need more followers, more likes. And then you're going to go through a patch where they'll, as you say, drop away. You have to have that belief. Otherwise, you'd think, wow, that's it. I've just blown it.
Exactly. And the human is like, aw, you know, like, aw. But then the higher self and the all-knowing is like, which is so much more powerful,
sure,
you know, is like, oh, I it's like, yeah, that's happening. Like, that's just, and you just know what it is. And you know that it's a process that has to happen, and I have to allow that transformation to occur, and it's not always going to look the way that the ego wants it to look.
Right.
Lol, what's the quotation you gave us right at the beginning of this project we started?
Oh yeah, nothing to be. There was Suzanne Cesani. She's you know, a musician. She's like in she would be 80 now, and she said she would put on the studio door this little saying that said, "Nothing to be done, and everything will be done."
You know, exactly,
and that's how we go about everything, because otherwise, you know, you get walked straight into, oh, this has to be done there, and that has to be done there, and this has to be, and none of it's true.
Yeah.
None of it's true.
Curious Creatures is created and presented by Lol Tolhurst and Budgie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wild.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas K.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cura Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2022.